Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, again, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for coming and being our guest today. I want to say you made it. You did it. You have almost survived Christmas. It's almost there. You made it to church on Christmas. Good job. Way to go. I know for some of you, it's a very natural part of your routine. For others of you, it's a little different, and so you weren't sure you were going to make it or not, but you did. You got here, and you didn't even wait till the last one. You've got two more tomorrow. Like, you guys are ahead of the game. Look, I get it. Christmas is a very hectic time of year. It gets crazy. I mean, I know for some of you, you're planning right now. You're leaving here, and you're going out of town. Others of you are going home to get ready because you have guests coming to town. Maybe you have to go get last minute ingredients. You could start cooking. Maybe you have a little more present wrapping to do. If you're really behind, maybe you have some more present purchasing to do. There's a lot going on. We totally get it. And so, sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, we are so appreciative that you chose to come spend an hour with us. Because at Christmas, man, with all that's going on, your time is an incredibly precious resource. And so what we wanted to do as a church to sort of honor you is our goal was to design an hour where you could just come in and kind of exhale and kind of breathe a little bit and look around, and maybe for just a moment the hope is that you can forget about what's coming next, you can forget about what you have to do, you can forget about what's not done, and that for just a moment we can just kind of stop. We can kind of pause in the midst of the chaos, and just remember why we celebrate Christmas. Why do we do all of this? Why is it such a big deal? Because for me, the why is really the whole point of Christmas. And most of us know everything else. We know the who, we know the what, we know the when, we know the where. We know who, his name's Jesus, what, he was born, when, about 2,000 years ago, where, other side of the planet, little town called Bethlehem. We know the details. We know it. But why? Why is this date celebrated worldwide? Why do churches get so excited? Why do people get so excited? Why is Christmas so important? What I wanted to do, seriously, so quickly, is just take a moment and just try to give ourselves all permission to not worry about everything else that has to happen. For just a few minutes, let's just ask that question. And let's ask ourselves, and let's commit that when we leave here today, we are going to leave grasping the gift of Christmas. We're going to grasp it. We're going to understand it. And then we're going to be able to do something with it. Now, for me, I think that if you read the story of Jesus, if you read the biographies of his life, if you read the story of the spread of his early church, if you read some of the training manuals that some of his followers wrote to encourage other people, The why is throughout. The why is throughout the story. Why did Jesus come? But I also think one of the clearest explanations for why Jesus came and why we celebrate Christmas occurs at the very beginning of the Christmas story. And it's recorded in one of the biographies we have of Jesus' life. This biography was written by a man named Luke. And Luke was actually a doctor, and he was a historian. And Luke, Matthew and John are two of our biographies, and they were actually Jesus's closest friends and followers, and they wrote eyewitness accounts. Then we have this biography written by this guy named Mark, and we think Mark might have been a Jesus follower, but he was very, very young, but he was really good friends with this guy named Simon Peter, who was one of Jesus's best friends, and we think that's where he got his information. And then Luke comes along, and Luke never met Jesus. Luke was really good friends with this guy named Paul, and Luke was a Christian, and Luke decided to write a biography of Jesus' life by interviewing eyewitnesses. So Luke went around and he interviewed all these people who had been with Jesus, and when he's telling us this story about the birth of Jesus, I'm convinced he went and interviewed eyewitnesses. I bet he talked to Jesus' mom, Mary, and said, "Hey, tell me what you remember about that night. Tell you what happened." She remembered that these shepherds came by, and so she told them the shepherd's story. But I've often wondered if Luke didn't maybe take a day trip to Bethlehem. And if he didn't ask around and see if he could actually find one of these shepherds, one of these men. Because if you don't know the story, there were these shepherds that were just minding their own business, watching their sheep, when all of a sudden an angel appeared in the sky and announced to them that Jesus had been born. They were the first people to find out what had happened. And Luke is the one who records this story. And since Luke did all these interviews, I wonder if he actually interviewed one of those shepherds. Because when you read the story, it is delivered in such a first-person account. It's like you are there. And so I want to take you to that moment, because it's in that moment that I believe we clearly understand and we can clearly begin to grasp the gift that is Christmas. We can grasp why Jesus came. And here's what Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 9, talking about these shepherds. He says, suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. So again, you have shepherds out in their fields, hanging out with their sheep, probably have a little campfire. And then all of a sudden, human-like figures appear in the sky, and they look like they're on fire, and they start talking to the shepherds. The next three lines are the biggest understatement in Scripture, where Luke tells us they were terrified. Of course they were terrified. But immediately, Luke tells us that the angel reassured them and said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. That's quite a statement, isn't it? I bring you good news, not bad news. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to who? Everybody. You know what he was announcing? He's saying, we're changing the game. I am here on behalf of God to announce to you and through you to the world that everything is about to get better. That was the message of Christmas, but it's not done. Here's what the angel says. Here's why it's going to get better. The Savior. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. There's that word, the Savior. And then it says, yes, the Messiah. That was just a thing that the Jewish religion, they were looking for as well. But where it says the Savior. The Savior is here. Now, if someone were to walk up to you at the grocery store or in the parking lot and say, hi, my name's Carl, I'll be your Savior. You would wonder, well, Carl, nice to meet you. Why exactly do I need to be saved? And I think that's the question. That's the question at Christmas. So at Christmas, God is announcing that he's sending his son to save us. So the question has to be asked, save from what? And this is where we come to the part of the Christmas experience and the Sunday experience that, if you're not familiar with church, may make you a little uncomfortable, and that's okay. It makes me a little uncomfortable as well, but it's a reality. And you can't really grasp the reason God gave us this gift until you understand how desperately we needed it. And the reason he had to send his son to save us is because we all desperately need to be saved. We all need to be rescued. And you may say, now why do I need to be rescued? Why did God need to rescue me? Well, it's a three-letter word that no one likes to talk about, especially in church, especially at Christmas, but we have to. And that word is sin. Now, maybe you have heard of sins before. Maybe you don't know what a sin is. Maybe you've been called a sinner before and you didn't like it. But let me explain. All sin is when we do something that's not in our best interest. Sin is when we go against something God has said for us. God loves us. God wants the best for us. So from time to time, he's given us laws. He's given us protections. He said, hey, don't do that. Hey, don't do that. But we, maybe you know this, we were actually born with a problem. We were born believing we were smarter than God. We were born believing we were really smarter than everybody else and that we didn't need anybody to tell us what to do, that we could do it ourselves. And if you don't believe that, wait till you have kids. And you will watch it happen and realize, oh, they think they're smarter than me, don't they? Well, that's what God experienced. And so because we thought we were smarter than God, we sin, which means we do things that God does not want for us. It's not best for us. And there's a couple of problems with that. Number one, sin sabotages your life. And the reason I know that is because every single person in this room, including me, we look back on our life and we have regrets. We have guilt. We have shame. We look back on behaviors we did. We look back on acts we did, and we don't even recognize ourselves. We don't understand why we did it. We do anything to take it back. We do anything to fix it. Some of us, we have bad habits. We have things that we just feel controlled by, and we want to desperately free ourselves from them because we know our life would be better, but we just can't, and that's because of sin, because sin will sabotage your life. Every single regret you have in your life is because of sin. It sabotages us. And our Heavenly Father doesn't want that for us because He wants great things. He wants us to follow Him. But sin actually does more than sabotage. Sin also separates. Sin separates us from God. Because God, you know how we have a justice system here on earth, and if you break the law, there's a penalty, and it kind of works. You do this, and this happens. Well, God has a justice system as well, and God's justice system is sin must be punished. Sin must be destroyed. It's the only thing that can happen with sin. In fact, it's God's only behavior towards sin. So if you followed along, since we were born with this sin problem, and sin sabotages and sin separates, we were born. And when God looked at us, the only thing He could choose to do was to destroy us because we are sinners. I know, Merry Christmas. Do I say, it gets better. So that was our problem. That was our situation. And so here's what God did. God loved me and God loved you and God loved your parents and God loved your grandparents and God loved your nieces and God loved your nephews and God loved your friends and your family, your neighbors and coworkers, and God loved the world so much that rather than let us settle for what we deserved, and rather than let us live in the sin that sabotages and the sin that separates, rather than say, hey, you guys broke it, you got to buy it. Here's what He did. He sent His Son to save us. And that is what the angel was announcing at Christmas. He was announcing the beginning of God's rescue mission for us. He was announcing, hey, worry no more. As the song says, here comes heaven. Here comes better. And if you know the story, this baby born at Christmas, he grows up. And at the age of 30, he launches a movement that changes the world. For 3 years, he travels around and he preaches not as one who speaks on behalf of God. He says, I am God. He sent me. I am His Son. To have seen me is to see God. And I'm here to tell you, I can make it better. And as he said that, religious leaders did not like it. So much so, they decided to have him killed. Maybe you know the story. The baby that was born at Christmas grows up. And on Good Friday, he's nailed to a tree and he dies. And on Easter Sunday, he walks out of the grave. Now, here's what we believe happened in that moment. We believe that the God of the universe and His justice system took the penalty and the punishment. I earned, you earned, we all earned with our sins and with our bad habits and with our misbehaviors for an entire life. We earned a penalty. That penalty was death. We deserved it. It was ours. But God loved us so much, He sent His Son to rescue us. And when Jesus died on that cross, what God did is He said, I'm not going to punish you. I'm going to punish my Son in your place. And as I punish him, as I take his life, I'm giving you back yours. And you no longer have to struggle and live with your sin problem. The sin that sabotages and the sin that separates, my Son defeated. And just so you know how powerful he is, I'm going to bring him back to life. He died on a Friday. He walks out of that grave on a Sunday. And as he walked out, he completed God's rescue mission. The mission that was launched at Christmas was completed on Easter. And now we all simply get to sit back and make a decision. What are we going to do with the gift? Are we going to grasp the gift God gave us? A life where we no longer have to be controlled by our own bad habits and controlled by our own worst decisions, where we don't have to be pulled down because we can't do things on our own. The God of the universe steps in and say, I got you. I've set you free. Now, if you'll just follow me, I have a life plan for you that is going to be immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. So why do we celebrate Christmas? Because Christmas is proof that God keeps his promises. God had promised, I'll save you. God had promised, you're not alone. God had promised, I have your back. God had promised, I'm coming to get you. And at Christmas, he launched the mission. The mission that was launched at Christmas was completed at Easter. So today, as we wrap up this service and as we wrap up this time together and as you get ready to head back out and you get ready to buy gifts and plan and cook and everything, my challenge and our hope for you today is that while we're here, you can just pause and turn all that off for a moment and just simply reflect on the gift of Christmas and just ask yourself a simple question. Do I grasp the gift? Do I understand it? Have I received it? I'm going to pray in just a moment, and we have a couple more songs we're going to do, but the next song we're going to do is designed for you to sit and think. It's designed for you to be quiet. It's designed for you to hopefully be able to block everything else out for just a few moments and contemplate the gift of Christmas. And as you contemplate that gift, one of two things will happen. One, you will feel gratitude. You will feel gratitude because you have grasped that gift and you understand it. Or number two, hopefully something will stir in your heart and you will understand I haven't grasped it. And you will begin to consider what could you do to understand who God is and what he's done in your life. Let this Christmas be the Christmas that you don't just celebrate the who, the what, the when, and the where. Celebrate the why. May this be the Christmas that you grasp the gift, the rescue that he sent for you. Let me pray. God, we just love you so much. God, we thank you for your son. We thank you that you loved us so much that you chose to come and to rescue us and to set us free. To provide forgiveness for our mistakes and to provide hope for a better life moving forward. God, as we come to this moment of reflection, as we come to this moment of contemplation, may you just open our hearts, may you open our minds, may you quiet our thoughts, may you block everything else out so that in this moment right now we can have an encounter with you and we can maybe for the very first time truly reflect on the why. God, may you give us the ability to grasp the gift of Christmas. We love you. We thank you for your son, and it's in his name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.